Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
A treasure, a pirate's treasure. Pirate's treasure that many have been looking for more than 300 years. We're not going to find it, but we're going to establish that treasure and the incredible story that is attached to it in the history of England and Scotland and Great Britain and the Americas and the Indian Ocean. I welcome the authors of a new book, The Pirate King, The Strange Adventures of Henry Avery and the Birth of the Golden Age of Piracy. Sean Kingsley, the historian, Rex Cowan, our guide, a former lawyer and a man who seeks out adventure. But in this instance, the adventure happened at the end of the 17th century. This is a time when the American colonies are new, when the British Empire is putting itself together, and it's found a gem called India. But India has the richest man on earth. He's a Mughal. That is to say, he's made of nothing but wealth paid to him by his people. And in that instance, we begin with the adventure itself. It is September 28th, 1695. There is a pirate ship named Fancy. It's commanded by a man who's known as Long Ben to his men, but whose name is Henry Avery. Rex and Sean, congratulations. This is wonderful. I begin with you, Sean. Who is Henry Avery at this moment? Where did he come from? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having us on your show. Henry Avery is a complicated genius from Plymouth in England. He's had a whole bunch of setbacks in his life, and he swears that he's never going to let anyone make a fool of himself, and he's declared war on mankind. By way of London to Spain, he's made his way all the way to America to get rich and get his crew rich. So, you know, in 1695, if you wanted to hit big, if you wanted the biggest lottery ticket on earth, forget about the Caribbean and Spanish shipping. As you said, the richest ticket on earth were the sea lanes between the Red Sea and Mughal India. And it's to this area, the Bab el Mandab, the gateway of tears at the entrance to the Red Sea, that Henry Avery has made his way. And he's sitting there and the clock is ticking. The crew's getting angry and anxious, and they need a big hit. They've been more than 14 months at sea with a crew unpaid, and they want to hit it rich.
Rex, a very good evening to you. Welcome. You are a distinguished shipwreck hunter, a man who's been very much rewarded for your careful archaeology. We're not searching just for one ship. We're imagining a world where piracy was part of the daily understanding of risk when you set to sea with a treasure, or even carrying crockery across the world. In your experience, all the shipwrecks you've investigated, this event that took place in the Indian Ocean, is it unique? Is this the biggest haul ever made by a pirate? Good evening, Rex.
Hello. Well, it's certainly one of the biggest, and it depends how much focus there is on people who write books and people who study and people who write learned treatises about the subject. It certainly captured all the imagination of people. But the stories that proliferated in those days, of course, they were the sort of almost a semi-fiction of excitement that ordinary people got with it. Stories of treasure, of pillage, and of course of these great fortunes that were made by characters, by pirates, who all of whom had their own sort of character effects. And My wife came across this by accident when we were looking actually for a Swedish East India treasure ship, or rather a ship from the Swedish company, which was a very rare event in those days. It was one of the smallest companies. And this letter that popped up in this archive unexpectedly, in terms of what the letter appeared to say, was unusual. And so it took our attention away from what we were looking at for a while, partly because, of course, of the other letter and the other information from the Truro archive, which appeared to show exactly where Avery had hidden his treasure. Now, that's another sort of fiction that proliferated in the story of a romantic story of piracy, which was that somehow pirates hid their treasure away from the authorities. And there was this other letter, which was very different from the one in code, but had attached to it X marks the spot. In those days, letters like that were the sort of common sale by characters who would try to induce people to follow the trail of these huge hauls that were made in piracy, and it was quite common for people to come up or in ordinary discussion to say, I've got a map showing where the treasure is, or a letter showing where the treasure was. So we looked at it from that point of view. But this trail that Sean has followed now, and that we started as well, is about a much more interesting and important aspect of life there at that time, this political life that was going on and where it was going on. And so when we saw odd things like the library, the first open library in Lemon Street, that showed us that there was something beyond just a rather simple tip that was quite commonplace in those days.
Let me establish the mystery, Rex. Between that moment, September of 1695, and the date on the letter, which I believe was 1700, Avery disappeared. Regorn from the face of the earth. Rex, Sean, I come to you on that. His disappearance was famous. The haul was famous. They'd captured many of his crew. They were hanging them as fast as possible at the execution in London. And yet he was gone forever. And that remained the story for 300 years. Is that correct, Sean?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So, you know, we're in India. He pulls off the big one, the Gunzwai Indian treasure ship with, according to Indian accounts, Mughal sources, £600,000 worth of gold, silver and precious gems, which would equate to at least $108 million today, maybe $150 million. And, you know, this is an age when there's no mobile phones, there's no internet, yet the story of what he did, pulling off the big one, it echoes from port to port and into inn and a coffee house. And, you know, there's more ballads, plays, songs, books written about Henry Avery than any other pirate of the Golden Age, even though perhaps names like Blackbeard are today more famous. And as that happened, you know, what Henry Avery did is he lit the fuse and threw the hand grenade that started this Golden Age of piracy. And every sea dog worth their salt wanted to do a Henry.
Surprise, we're not going to follow the piracy trail. We're going to go in a completely different direction. We're going to go to spies and dead drops and secret service. The book is The Pirate King, The Strange Adventure of Henry Avery and the Birth of the Golden Age of Piracy. Sean Kingsley and Rex Cowan are the authors. You have no idea how strange it's going to get. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.